What's up, ODs and eyewear lovers? We're talking the latest trends in tech and eye care, so sit back, relax, and defocus.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of the Defocus Media Podcast. You know, there's a topic that Daryl and I have been wanting to cover for the past couple of months, but we've gone to great lengths to get a representative from Hubble Contact Lenses on the show to give their side of the story. And the truth is, they just haven't been interested in participating with optometry. So instead, we went a different route. You know, last month, Dr. Courtney Dreyer, who's a private practice optometrist in Charlotte, North Carolina, wrote a great piece for New Grad Optometry about Hubble Contact Lenses and how she's approaching it in her own office. So if you want to check that piece out, it's called Hubble Contact Lenses, Four Things to Consider on newgradoptometry.com. And thank you so very much to Dr. Courtney Dreyer for coming on the show today to share her insights. So to start things off, let's just tell everybody a little bit about yourself. You've got this great private practice in Charlotte, like we mentioned. And how did you get started writing for New Grad Optometry?
Well, I graduated from SCO in 2011, and I worked for a doctor shortly for about a year. And I soon found out that being an associate doctor just wasn't for me. If I saw something that needed to be changed, I needed to be able to do that. And so I began my own practice in February of 2013. So it'll be 5 years, actually, this February. So we're an independent boutique in Charlotte, North Carolina. So deal a lot with high-end product, frames, lenses, specifically contact lenses. And so I'm big on technology for my patients. My main patient base, I'd say the average age is about 35 years old. So, you know, they're around our age as millennials. And so they're very open to technology and new lenses, frames, anything that I can offer. And so that is exactly how Hubble popped up in my practice. I began working with New Grad actually back in 2013 when I started my practice. They wanted me to write on business-related aspects, and it's kind of evolved over time. Write a lot of product pieces as far as technology goes on progressive lenses, EHR systems, whichever they kind of want me to cover, as well as I can kind of write about whatever I choose to write about. And so that was my idea for Hubble Contact Lenses. I actually had a couple patients approach me about it, ask me, and I knew I was getting advertised to on both Instagram, and I'd seen commercials on TV. So I knew it would be a big topic in my practice to come. So, and when I see those things kind of popping up, I like to jump on them and address the issue before it comes back to me, I guess, before my patients ask me about it.
So when you decided to cover Hubble Contact Lenses as a story, were you able to get in touch with any of the representatives for the company?
I actually did not try that. I did a Google search, of course. I found out who the manufacturer of Hubble Contact Lenses is, which is a company called Saint Shine in Taiwan. And so when I found out they were the manufacturer, I did some research regarding that company. And so it kind of led me down a pathway to get the information that I needed to find. So I didn't actually talk to a representative. I did the research myself as far as the information.
Well, I tried to reach out and they shot me down. I tried to reach out to them on Facebook and they shot me down. Tried to reach out to them via email and they shot me down. And they actually sent back a pretty nasty response. Don't you recall, Jen?
Yeah, I remember. They basically sent us an email back from our request to see if they would be interested in coming on the show with us. It said, please stop messaging us. Do not use this email address again, and no, we are not interested. So it's basically not interested in existing in this optometry space.
Yeah, and the thing with our podcast, like we're open-minded optometrists, you know, so we wanted to create a platform for them to explain their whole business concept, their whole business model, and just answer some questions. But no one responded back with anything positive. So maybe hopefully after this interview, we could get the guys from Hubble to come on and talk shop. But we'll see.
Well, in the absence of having a representative from the company coming on the show to give their take or their opinion on what they're bringing within the space, there is a lot of information available out there. We know about the contact lens material. We know the parameters available. There's really heavy marketing by the company and FAQs that they're putting out because it's a new topic that people that are consumers from the contact lens space need to be able to read up about to understand if they're interested or if they're a candidate for. And Dr. Dreyer, in doing your research, you know, you were able to really use those sources to figure out what's going on with the lens. Let's start with the basics. What is the material that Hubble Contact Lenses is made out of?
It's actually an older material. It was an old monthly lens material called Methylphilicon A, which was an old CooperVision material for frequency 55 and Vertex lenses. which has since been discontinued. So they're now using monthly lens material for a daily lens.
So Metafalcon A was a material that CooperVision was using in some of their older generation contact lenses, so Frequency 55, Vertex Sphere, for example. You know, those are lenses that they have discontinued several years back. And Cooper has been very upfront with saying, look, this is not our contact lens. We're not producing Hubble. We're not partnering with Hubble. Everything looks like this is a kind of a new start by a company called Saint Shine in Taiwan. But Cooper is kind of putting out lots of statements to distance themselves from the company, even though it's a material that we have habitually associated with Cooper Vision as a product. My understanding of it is just like any FDA kind of covered medication, contact lens material, after it's had a patent kind of expire on it, would be a little bit of a free-for-all. The information exists out there in the world, but it's not a patented material. And that's why St. Shine is able to use that material and say it's an FDA-approved material, because it was, you know, 20 years ago when Cooper Vision brought it to the table. But it's kind of patents worn off, so anybody can utilize that material now, is my understanding of it.
So, you know, I'm curious, Courtney. I actually had this conversation in the office today with some colleagues, and we were talking about patients that come in and ask about the Hubble lens. We're not getting it in the location I'm at now, simply because I feel like, I mean, we see a decent amount of millennials, but it's kind of a full spectrum of patients of all ages. But the doctor I was talking about, they practice closer to NC State, and they say that they see it pretty routinely. And I know they're very heavy in advertising on social media, Instagram, Facebook, and as Jen had mentioned, on TV as well. But when you get these patients, because it seems like you're getting some, what are you saying to them? Because you don't have a trial kit to fit them with the contacts. And of course, you probably won't fit them with the contacts because of the older technology, and it's just not the healthiest bet for their eyes. What type of dialogue and conversation are you having with these people?
So I'm a big premium lens fitter. So I don't fit anything that I consider lower than a premium lens. So some of the ones I mentioned on the article were Daily's Total One, or I'm a huge Acuvue Oasys Daily fitter. And so the patients that have asked me actually about Hubble contact lenses, I was able to tell them they're not as good as what you're used to wearing. So you're not going to be happy in what the Hubble lens, because you're used to wearing the best of the best. And so my patients, over time I've developed a relationship with them that they know that every year they're probably going to get a new contact lens, and they trust that they're going to get the best technology from me. And so that's why I don't want my patients hearing about another lens from somebody else. I want them to be in the premium lens first. So it's just a good referral source for my practice. So that's kind of how I address it, is that for the money and for what you're getting, it's not a good lens. I can offer you a much better lens that you'll be much more comfortable with, you'll be happier in, and it'll fit your needs much better than Hubble lens will ever do.
So when you really start breaking it down, there's very little value when you look at the equation of what's going on with these contact lenses. A month of Hubble contact lenses for each eye is $30 plus $3 shipping and handling. So you do a little bit, that's roughly 50 cents a contact lens. When you think about other contact lens materials on the market, that's not really a big cost savings. Let's say you have a patient who is extremely healthy and they're like, I could wear anything. It doesn't matter if it's comfortable to me or not. I just want the cheapest thing you've got in the office. All right, I'm thinking about something even like an older generation material, like a soft lens daily. It's roughly 30 cents a lens, for example. So if I was, for whatever reason, going to say, let me fit you in the cheapest thing that we've got just for cost value savings, I would definitely think of a material more comfortable than Metafalcon A. And I would definitely think of a price much better than 50 cents a lens. So it doesn't really win on comfort, help, or pricing when you start actually looking at breaking down what we're talking about here.
Correct. If you visit the article that I wrote, I actually have a breakdown of the price, and there's quite a few lenses, the old Acuvue daily lenses that came out, I don't even know how long ago, I've never actually fit them in my career. The Focus daily soft lens, nothing that we've actually fit, and we've been out of school for, 7-8 years now. And so you're correct. The price is not very good for the old technology that they're offering.
And so unless something were to greatly change within the contact lens space, I just can't personally understand why optometrists would feel a value in fitting these contact lenses. Because once you take the time to kind of explain to the patient, it's not a comfortable material, it's not a healthy material, and it's not cheaper than other contact lenses that I can get for you. It's like, well, those are the three marketing points that Hubble's hitting really hard in their advertising, and they can easily be dispelled within a 5-minute conversation. And hopefully faster than that, 5 minutes if you're really talking it out with the patient and kind of going into some stronger science. So when I'm thinking about all the marketing money that they're spending on this with the Facebook ads, the Instagram ads, TV commercials, it seems like they're digging themselves a really deep hole. And when you look at the value proposition that they're offering, it seems like it's going to be really hard to dig out of that with actual profit on the contact lenses.
That's probably like any other disruptive technology that they're hoping to do enough volume to eventually recover the cost.
Yeah. I mean, you have to give it to them. Their marketing is pretty nice. I mean, they're everywhere. There's no doubt about it. And colors, the way they present it. I mean, it's going to entice a patient. It's no doubt about it. I mean, they're doing a pretty good job. I mean, it's or like Warby Parker for the most part of contacts. You know what I'm saying? So they're doing a hell of a job in regards to marketing their products. I recently heard they stated that they're moving into Canada, right? Is that something that's new? Have you ladies heard about that?
Yes, they did expand into Canada in the last 2 months.
Okay. All right. Now, I wonder how the laws are going to work with contacts there, and what's the deal with the FDA? Are there any issues with them in regards to this product, being that it's not one of these big folks like Cooper Vision, Johnson & Johnson Vision, or Alcon? I mean, has anybody looked into that at all?
When I was doing the research back in 2013, they were actually cited for the FDA, and the actual quote was, for inadequate validation reports and design control procedures and process control. And I think it was early June, the AOA actually asked for an update from the FDA regarding the manufacturer. And in June, the FDA, they cited that all the issues had been resolved for the time being, but they also emphasized that, you know, they were being subject to basically being watched at a close distance. So that the agency expected them to maintain compliance and monitor their state of compliance. So still under scrutiny from the FDA.
I think this is just one of those examples, a really prime example of it, of how vulnerable optometry is in the marketing space. As we've kind of talked about their major marketing points in this podcast and how each of them actually don't really hold up when examined, it's so easy for a patient to believe if you say, I'm a high technology contact lens at a really affordable price point that's cheaper than anything the doctor's office can give you. I mean, the patient's primed to think if an online vendor says that, of course it's going to be true, as they many times trust online space as being a place for high technology and cheaper products, especially when compared to buying in the doctor's office, unfortunately, just the association we put around everything. So we have a big hurdle placed in front of us on how can we kind of turn around what being loyal to a doctor's office means as far as value proposition to our patients. And if we're not active and visible in that same marketing spaces that someone like a Hubble company is going after, like Facebook and Instagram and kind of the online space, it's going to be easy for them to see Hubble or a similar company's marketing message and then question any of the brand loyalty they've developed to your own practice because you're not visible to them in their everyday feed. If you're not on social media and hitting it really hard, this is something that you could eventually lose out to.
Absolutely, Jen. And when you add also that it's a subscription service, that changes the game in addition to social media.
Something somebody brought up on, I'm not sure if it was Odie's on Facebook or on the article itself. You know, people are really into these subscription services, whether it's, you know, razors that come to your door or, you know, clothes that come in a box according to your, you know, sense of fashion. So it kind of makes you wonder if it's kind of just going along with the trendy thing right now, you know, subscriptions to movies or movie pass, things of that nature. And so you wonder if it's just kind of a fad that once enough patients try it, it'll kind of lose its excitement. But they are planning on rolling out, you know, multifocal toric lenses also, I've seen in some of their advertisements on Facebook also.
And it's going to be the same lens material too, as well?
It's supposed to be the same. Okay. I haven't seen a date on that at all, though. I haven't seen them present patients with a date. They've just said it's coming. It's on its way.
So I think the easiest trap for all of us to fall into is one that I initially, like whenever I think about this topic, the first thing that comes to mind is like, frequency 55 multifocal, 5255 material. I'm not shaking in my shoes about that. My patients don't like that. At the same time, though, like that's the easy trap that is going to catch all of us. Because if we think, oh, that's a bad contact lens or not a great contact lens design, our patients aren't going to like it, and we don't do anything to actively talk about it or to actively give them something better to compare to if we've just kept them in the same contact lens for the past 20 years, I mean, are they going to be able to feel that difference or see that difference? So it's really still the onus on us to make sure we're constantly giving them new technology so that they have their expectations for greatness set. If we've never let them experience something that's really good, really high technology, really high comfort, really high vision, then by comparison, it might seem totally acceptable to them. And that's a pitfall we do not want to be a part of.
Yeah, I think that's why it's very important for doctors to fit the best. You know, you can't be scared of, you know, offering a high priced item. You know, I always tell my patients, like, I wouldn't put you in any lens that I wouldn't want to wear myself. And so if they ask me about Hubble, I'm going to tell them that I wouldn't want to wear that lens. You know, I don't fit a lot of monthly lenses for the same reason. You know, we have technologies that are better. So I would want to be in a high premium daily lens. I feel like in today's world, you know, most of us use computers all day. We have dry out. I here in the Carolinas, you know, the way the temperature is, you know, it's either hot or cold every day, that tends to dry out eyes more. And so I just think it's very important that we are constantly not only doing contact lens fits, that we're changing technology on patients and we're educating patients on why we're prescribing what we are and why what we're offering is better than other lenses. You know, our patients are educated, so they expect that now. They expect that with every technology, so it should be the same with contact lenses.
I really love your approach to this, Dr. Dreyer, because this is how I would plan on creating the same response within my own practice. So let's say you do have an older generation contact lens somewhere in the back, you know, realms of the contact lens fitting room. And a patient's really asking about Hubble, they're very interested in it. You can put an old methylphilcon, a monthly contact lens, if you've got it back there, on one eye, and then a really premium daily contact lens on the other eye. I guarantee you, within seconds of them putting the contact lenses on, they'll feel a difference in the comfort. After many hours, if they decide, oh, you know what, I feel it, but I want to still try it, at the end of the day, I can guarantee you they'll feel a difference in visual performance, and they'll definitely be feeling a difference in comfort by the time they've worn it through the full 16-hour day. So the key becomes giving them something really good to experience, something that's a premium contact lens in vision and performance and all-day comfort. And then side by side, a patient's always going to be like, man, I can really see why that value for the contact lens I've been getting is the higher value for me.
Yeah, I probably give my patients too much information, but I feel like, you know, at least millennials, we're very educated. Before we make a purchase on anything, we're going to look at reviews or we're going to ask our friends as far as, you know, their experience. And so, you know, I'll even educate them on like DK over T. You know, maybe that's going a little bit too far, but, you know, when they hear the numbers alone, you know, you're talking Hubble with an 18, you're talking, you know, a Total One with a 140 or an Oasys Daily with a 103, those numbers are significantly different. So whether they understand DK over T or not, they understand that that's it's a better lens, a more breathable lens. And, you know, even a regular hydrogel versus silicone hydrogel, you know, 9 out of 10 patients are going to notice a difference at the end of the day, or even just automatically on insertion. And so, again, I think it comes back to, as doctors, like, we want to prescribe what we would wear. You know, we prescribe this for our friends and family. We're not going to prescribe Hubble lenses for those, you know, our acquaintances, our friends or family. So why would we prescribe that for our patients?
Yeah.
You know, seeing patients these days is harder, I think, than any generation before us. Millennial patients expect to be treated with the same level of technical knowledge and discourse as someone else that's in the profession. Because of the internet, it's a level playing field. They feel like they can be experts within a few seconds or a few minutes of reading or research on any topic that we're experts on within, you know, 4 years of optometry school and however many years of experience and practice, within reason. But they feel like they're talking more to equals, and they expect to be part of the discussion of what the decisions are being made for their ocular surface. So because of that, you know, I've seen in my own practice, my exams take a lot longer now than they did 6 years ago. Not that I'm getting worse at them, I don't think. Daryl, you can pick on me later if you want to. But because I realize if I don't take the time to thoroughly explain all of my recommendations and the science behind why they're going to help for them, my patients aren't going to actually listen to anything that I've said, because they pre-come into the exam researching what they're going to get and made a purchasing decision about it. I have to spend that extra time to create a value behind what I recommend that's different if I want to skew that opinion in any way and influence it to a better material or a better product for them. I can't just in generations past say, I'm prescribing XXX and expect my patients to give a crap about it, to tell you the truth. I can prescribe till I'm blue in the face. If they don't care, they won't buy it. So creating a value in what I'm discussing is so much more time intensive than just saying, I prescribe and finishing the sentence. It doesn't work with millennial patients. And if you aren't seeing it yet in your offices, pay attention to the capture rate on those patients and you'll see it's happening.
Great point, Jen. Courtney, I want to circle back to, you were talking about subscription services earlier. You know, Sightbox was just recently purchased by Johnson & Johnson Vision. I mean, what are your thoughts? Do you think a contact lens company would purchase this company? Because, I mean, they are having some traction. I mean, you could see one of these companies purchase them and maybe potentially use one of their older technologies to help satisfy this patient base. I mean, what are your thoughts in regards to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely a possibility. I feel like there's some contact lens companies I trust more than others. It is an ever-changing industry, having said that. But I was at a Vistacon dinner last week, and they were talking about Sightbox. And when they acquired that company, their goal was to put patients in your chair. So they want to educate patients that they can't just go online and buy contact lenses. They need to get the ocular health assessed. And so that's an important feature that, you know, Sightbox has that Hubble doesn't push, or, you know, maybe 1-800-CONTACTS doesn't push with their, you know, online eye exams. I think most contact lens companies do understand that the more times, or the more often they put patients in your chair, the more those patients are going to come back. And in the end, they're going to sell more contacts that way too. So hopefully we'll not see that in the future. But,
you know, it's the wild, wild west out there right now. Sightbox is such a huge paradigm shift within optometry. And I don't think we're realizing necessarily even how big this is going to be with the long-term impact. A major contact lens company manufacturer partner with private practice optometry and corporate practice optometry, but optometry within a whole, has partnered with a direct-to-consumer online sales, offering their contact lenses and, confusingly enough, other vendors' contact lenses, but direct to the patient, cutting out sales from the optometrist's office itself, okay? If they're extremely successful in the next year or two, you better believe the other contact lens companies are going to get in on similar vendorships or similar ways of skipping out on the contact lens sales in your office and going direct to the patient and direct to the consumer. So it's going to be one thing that we really have to watch closely over the next year or two, is I can easily see all the other contact lens companies following suit if they're showing any sort of signs of initial success.
Yeah, I think it comes back to, you know, building that relationship with your patient. You know, they're more likely to purchase everything for you if they trust you and see the value in the services that you offer. And so that's what 1-800 is a big competitor, obviously, but we still retain a huge, significant majority of our contact lens sales because we work so hard at establishing that relationship with the patient so that they trust us, and we know that they know that we have their best interest, that we're prescribing what's best for them, and they're going to get a new update every single year. So,
well, Dr. Dreyer, thank you so much for your time today. You know, Daryl and I, when we started this podcast, our whole point of it was, how do we get controversial, disruptive technology information, things that are changing with optometry that initially cause maybe a gut negative reaction from people, how do we get those topics discussed in a positive place and a discussion that moves the topic forward in a way, how can it become incorporated into what optometry is under our ownership, right? And this is a prime example of how you're turning an outside competitor that's definitely going after optometry sales, and even kind of what our value proposition is on a contact lens as we prescribe it. And we're making that a conversation instead about, how do I make that online disruptor something that drives value for my own independent private practice optometry office, by talking about lens materials a little bit better, by talking about the contact lens prescription values that I have in materials that are going to be even more cost effective for patients. So hopefully anyone listening to the podcast today was inspired by some of the ways that you're dealing with it in your own private practice. And as always, we love to hear more opinions and more comments in the comment section. Reach out to us on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. You guys are great, so we appreciate all of your insights and moving the needle forward in optometry too.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, it's a wrap. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to hang out with Defocus Media. We hope something resonated with you today. Please subscribe to our podcast, and remember, we keep it 2020 around here, pun intended. We look forward to seeing you next time.